Good morning, everyone. So, I am one of those people who is absolutely convinced that the Holy Spirit is constantly working overtime to inspire individuals to love, to be generous, to sacrifice, to trust, and to rise above themselves. I just have to look back at my own life, and especially these past 10 years of my diaconate, and there are so many moments that I can pinpoint to my family, my friends, my work, my personal faith journey, which has landed me here at St. Ignatius. The Holy Spirit is alive in this parish, and me being blessed beyond measure to be part of it, and to witness how the Holy Spirit prompts us, guides us, moves us. The Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, it is God's breath. It is the dynamite of God, that power and zeal. Hard to explain. Kind of like the wind. No, you can't see it. You can hear it sometimes. You can even feel it sometimes. But we question where it comes from. But I can assure you, it is real. The Holy Spirit fills our minds and our hearts, sometimes at the least expected moment, with generous impulses. And we see the faces and names of individuals we know, as well as complete strangers. The Spirit moves us and challenges us to make unexpected sacrifices with inspirations to embrace and comfort people who are hurting. And I am also convinced that many of you here can attest to such experiences as these, when seemingly out of nowhere, an overwhelming feeling comes over us to act. And yet still, sometimes, when we do experience something that we cannot understand or might not truly be aware that it's from God, we normally tend to dismiss this experience of the Holy Spirit as merely a coincidence or nonsense. But God, who is patient, who is a loving God, who will continue to nudge us, will use someone's voice or his word to validate and revalidate until we get it. He has done this to me over and over and over, I can assure you. Another way the Spirit can inspire us is through the eyes of someone's life experience. Have you ever watched or read a biography about some great figure who epitomizes complete goodness and purity, and we feel energized and challenged to emulate him or her? For me, Nelson Mandela comes to mind. Very inspiring man in his life journey to bring change into the world. Another great figure which I look to is Joseph. Unfortunately, the Gospels have very little information, very little meat on the bone about this man. I have to say, this got me thinking. I wish that the writers of Matthew's Gospel could have spent a few more minutes writing section of his Gospel so that figures like Joseph could have more than just inspirational effect. After one's reading of today's Gospel, you know, you may say to yourself, oh, I get it. Matthew is simply pausing for a moment to explain to us how it is that Joseph was brought on board to this whole plan of bringing the Savior to the world. It's almost as you could read this passage with imaginary brackets around it as an editorial note to establish why Joseph did not drop Mary like a hot potato. Or sometimes I would imagine that when he did write the Gospel of Matthew, he wrote this beautiful, detailed account of this scene involving Joseph. And when he handed it in, his copy editors handed it back to him and said, Just the facts. We've got to keep this under 28 chapters. However, on a second, third, even a fourth reading, one might be able to begin to feel the messiness of the situation and the courage and the boldness which Joseph responded. We know how the story ends. We have 2,000 years of biblical understanding of Scripture, and we may say to ourselves, well, of course Joseph did what the angel told him. He took Mary into his house. She's the mother of God. Nevertheless, let us not forget that Joseph was not informed that his betrothed was with child till after the fact. Now imagine the feeling of Mary herself in this situation. How was she to explain that she was pregnant by the power of God? Who's going to believe a story like that? So then we can see and try to understand the seriousness of Joseph's dilemma. Not to mention his feelings when he found out that his betrothed was already pregnant and not by him. That's a great question. What did the reception of that news about Mary feel like? What emotion did it evoke? It is never spelled out to us. All we know is that Joseph was a righteous man and did not want to expose her openly. To do so would have made her liable to severe punishment. And just a note, the penalty for fooling around with the betrothed virgin was death by stoning. But at the very least, the Mosaic law requires a man to divorce his wife under such circumstances. This was Joseph's duty, and he decided to divorce Mary quietly, not to cause a stir. But it's still hard to believe that it was not a harsh disappointment for Joseph. We have all been in positions where we have been severely disappointed or let down by a person or a situation. But sometimes we find the strength to act nobly and discreetly, not to make a bad situation worse. And sometimes not. We just lose it, and we throw gasoline on the fire and watch the whole situation blow up in our face. I don't know about you, but I like to cheer for the underdog. So something else caught my attention in this story. And before I look at the actual message of Joseph, I must think about the manner that it was delivered. Throughout Scripture, we hear about God sending messengers of the Lord. In the Old Testament, the prophet Zechariah, he gets a visit. Mary at the Annunciation gets a visit. Even Cornelius in the Acts of the Apostle gets a visit. Yet Joseph gets a dream. I have trouble remembering dreams, and they're not very clear. And I know this sounds like I'm nitpicking, but for me, I thought maybe for Joseph, a personal visit, maybe a daytime vision would have been a nice touch. Perhaps this is what makes the response of Joseph all the more courageous and wonderful. He is told in a dream the most mind-bending information about the young woman he's about to divorce and about the child who is growing within her. The news could not have been more shocking or more unreasonable. Against all that is reasonable, his response is to do what he is told. And the angel knew that he would be afraid and wouldn't understand. So he says, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife into your home." And I'll add this about Joseph. Joseph was not a puppet on a string, nor was he deprived of any free will. He responded with generosity. He responded with faith. Here's the power of the Holy Spirit at work in Joseph's life. He recognized and listened to the message from God, told to him in a dream, He rose above his fear. He rose above his confusion. He did not know how the story was going to end, other than knowing that this child was going to save his people from their sins. This is important, because if we take a step back, if Joseph had not had that dream, and the angel did not explain the situation, would Joseph have gone ahead and divorced Mary as he originally planned? This life-changing moment for Joseph really shows us how close God really is to us, helping us along the way throughout the messiness of our own lives. Sometimes it can be direct intervention, an angel in a dream. Sometimes we get those feelings or promptings. They think, well, that's just a coincidence. The point is, God is there for us. God is with us. The challenge becomes, how can we better hear his voice? How can we make ourselves more open to hearing him? Can we learn to recognize some signs that we may think are just coincidence, so that we can also become more like Joseph, overcoming our fears, learning to trust, to be filled with peace and joy, and going well out of our comfort zones, courageously to respond to the needs of those around us, to the Marys in our lives, and maybe even change someone's life or impact the world. I'll share this final thought. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded. These words should be an inspiration for all of us. They are simple words, yet behind them stands a man who inspires us to respond generously to every prompting of the Holy Spirit, to do as the Lord commands. Before Jesus leaves his disciples at the ascension, his last words in Matthew's gospel are, "I am always with you to the very end of time, right down to our present day." Jesus continues to be Emmanuel. God is with us. And that is why we continue to celebrate the birth of Jesus these past 2,000 years. Let us challenge to inspire each other to always try to recognize the divine voice in our hearts, in our heads, and in our dreams. I invite you to ask for this grace. Ask God for the grace of recognizing his voice. And as we do, let's try to never dismiss the generous and loving impulses of God's Holy Spirit that seem to come out of nowhere. To do so, we may never know their overall effect in this world. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Saint Joseph, inspire us.